So here we are, in the middle of August, as summer continues to unfold, in this season with its weather suited for going to the beach, for enjoying lazy days, maybe making our way through a summer reading list. For so many of us, this is a time to relax, to recharge, especially for many of us before the upcoming academic year. So maybe you came to church this morning in that kind of lazy summer mindset. Maybe you came looking for quiet and peace and some restoration. But instead, we have these lessons today. And there's nothing gentle about them. There's not so much peace and comfort. There's not much about summer vacation. Instead, we have words that are unsettling, that are challenging. Not some comfortable, feel-good lessons for a lazy summer day. I hear sometimes people say that they like to come to church because they're looking for peace. And I can't argue with that. In a world like ours that is so polarized and divided, where there is so much hatred, anger expressed in the public arena, I think we all long for a place where we can rest in community, where we can abide in the peace of God. And maybe when we think of Jesus, we think of that gentle teacher, the one who gathers and welcomes the children around him, the Messiah who heals the sick and welcomes the outcast, Jesus who reconciles all things to himself. But today, we hear a different side of Jesus. We hear Jesus talking about bringing division. What happened to that gentle, peaceful Jesus? As I thought about our lessons today, I thought it's probably important for us to think about how we understand peace and how God understands peace. I think often for us, by peace, we mean the absence of conflict and strife. And that kind of peace can come at a cost. It might mean remaining silent, not challenging how things are. We even have that phrase, we keep the peace. That kind of peace requires accepting things as they are, not rocking the boat, living within the status quo. But I don't think that's the peace of God. Jesus does not come among us to support the way things are in this world. Jesus does not call us to silence complacency in action. Rather, Jesus comes proclaiming the peace of God, a peace that rests on God's justice, a peace that insists on the well-being and the dignity of every human being. It's a peace that speaks up to the oppressive forces of this world. It is not silent. It's a peace that requires that we do not make peace with any oppression and injustice. It is a peace which speaks out so that it is not complicit in injustice through silence. Today's gospel is a hard-hitting call to discipleship, to giving up our lives, to giving them completely over to Jesus. Living in this way challenges the ways of this world and potentially creates division and strife within our families, our households, our other relationships. Jesus says that he comes to bring fire. But that fire that Jesus brings is that purifying fire, that fire that burns off the dross of our sins. It's the fire that refines us just as metal is refined and strengthened by fire. It's the fire that melts the coldness of our complacency and inertia. And when Jesus says he brings division, it's not because he is intentionally dividing us, but rather he is describing the consequences if we take seriously his call and if we walk with him. Because where he walks is resolutely to Jerusalem, to that city where he will be tortured, killed, and buried. And Jesus has taken on himself the anguish of the baptism with which he will be baptized. That is, going to the cross, willingly taking on himself the sins and the evil of humanity. And so to follow Jesus is to walk with him by taking up the cross of self-denial. It means giving up our lives to find the fullness of life in God. Discipleship comes at a great cost. It means even giving up our will, giving up our lives for the sake of following Jesus. So how do we answer this high calling? How do we faithfully follow Jesus in living lives of God's peace and justice? What does it mean to follow Jesus in the way of the cross? Today's lesson from the prophet Jeremiah might be helpful for us as we discern the call of Jesus. For in this passage, we are warned about following false prophets. God warns that false prophets come and they speak lies in God's name. They offer their own personal dreams as the dream of God, as God's call. They seek to make God's people forget God through their own misleading words. The false prophets preach that God is nearby. Now, that seems like a good thing, but for them, nearby means that God affirms what the prophets already believe, that God agrees with them, that God's word is the same as the word that they preach. They are failing, however, to preach God's judgment, the judgment that calls the people to return to God. Instead, they say, "Don't worry, everything's fine. God's not calling you to change a thing." The false prophets affirm the complacency of the people. They support the way things are now, instead of actually following where God is calling them. Now, Jeremiah, the true prophet, preaches instead God as far off, which may sound like a bad thing, but what Jeremiah understands is that God is not perfectly aligned with us. God is not always in perfect agreement with us. Jeremiah understands that while we can know God, while we can experience God, our knowledge is incomplete because God is so much greater than we are. God is vast, beyond so much of our understanding. God is at times inscrutable to us. And so it happens that God's will is not always how we live. We do not always perfectly understand God and do what God asks of us. And so, Jeremiah says, God is calling us to be changed, to be transformed, to hear how God is challenging the way things are, how God is calling us to new ways of living and being. Jeremiah then goes on to proclaim that God's word is like fire and like a hammer. And the false prophets preach, but their preaching is like that gentle fire that just warms and comforts us. The true prophets proclaim God's word, and that word is a blazing inferno. It burns away impurities. It purifies us for life with God, just as gold is tried in the furnace. And the true prophet preaches God's word like a hammer that shatters the status quo so that we are broken open and can be recreated, that we become something new. The hammer opens us so we can hear the compelling call of God. It shatters the myth of this world. Myths like the power of wealth, the power of military might. It destroys the delusion that our human divisions are compatible with God's call to inclusion. It breaks the walls of hatred that divide the peoples of this nation, and instead calls us to live by the sacrificial love of Jesus. Like Jeremiah's understanding of God's word, Jesus also does not enshrine how this world exists now, but calls us likewise to be purified and to be refined as the people of God. Just like the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness, we are to be led by that pillar of fire that God sends to us, that pillar that leads us into a new way of life, into life rooted in the kingdom of God, not the ways of this world. At the end of our gospel, Jesus says, "We know how to interpret the signs of the weather, but we do not know how to interpret the signs of the present time." We are called to see the signs of God's kingdom around us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and to allow God's call to shape and form us, to empower us to live as God's children, to allow the Spirit to gather us into a new body, the body of Christ, a body not built alone on family ties or other relationships, but built instead on the call of God and our response to it. And we're called to see the ways that the status quo of our lives and of our world does not reflect God's desire for us, and through the strength of the Holy Spirit to work for the change, the transformation of this world. We live in a time of great upheaval, of uncertainty, of change, and we are called in this time to listen for God's call, the call that is leading us in new ways, leading us in new paths to walk, forming us in new ways to be God's people in this age. And so on this lazy mid-August summer day, in the midst of vacation, here we are with these hard lessons and Jesus calling us to do much. There's great cost in following him. It requires commitment, it requires self-denial. But also there's great promise, for in this way of life, we find great meaning and an abundance of life not found anywhere else. It is the call to live as the people God creates us to be, people who live by God's love and God's justice. For Jesus calls us into a new way of being, to new life through baptism into his body, a life in which we put on his very identity. We are his presence in the world. We live with the sense of love and purpose that he does. We all likely long for those moments of comfort and peace. But the peace of God is not simply rest in the absence of conflict, having harmony. Rather, the peace of God is living as a people recreated who become a new creation in Christ, and who build and nurture relationships of love, mutuality, and justice. And so may we fearlessly run this race, following Jesus wherever he leads us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, may we be able to hear and discern God's call to us, that we know how God is asking us to live, that we are able to be changed and conformed to God's will. Though Jesus' way of love is challenging, the promise is that no matter what befalls us, we are safe in God forever. And as our epistle reminds us, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who urge us on, who cheer us in this life, and who await our arrival in the heavenly city at the great banquet feast of the Lamb. Amen.
Amen.